going to have four meetings. The idea is to have four meetings for this year about missions. We did one in the winter about Africa, and I think it was very educated and very updated for us to pray for more specific needs in Africa. And we did this, and this the spring one about Brazil, and I don't know what's going to be the next one. So just, we don't have nothing planned yet. So any suggestions, please feel free to come and, you know, give any inputs for that too. We're going to have more too to the rest of the year, God willing. Okay. Brazil. I know a little bit about Brazil. Just a little bit. Okay, Brazil is, I think we all know, South America, right? Down there, South America, have all the countries, Uruguay, Bolivia. The capital of Brazil is no Buenos Aires, that's Argentina. Brazil is Brasilia. Okay? It's the fifth country and land in the world. So it's kind of a big country. Have a lot of coastal area. Population about 200 million people. The largest religion, Catholicism. We're going to talk a little bit about that because that's kind of what they say, but it's a little bit different than just say Brazil is a Catholic country. It's not really that true. We speak Portuguese. We don't speak Spanish. No at all. It's kind of close, like Chinese and Japanese, but it's not the same language. And about we have about 1,200 assemblies. For the size of the country, that's not really too many assemblies. But okay.
Just to give an idea, Brazil is actually larger than continental United States.
Okay, on side to side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we have. It's always hard to tell who is Brazilian because it's a country with a lot of mix. We have it black Japanese, so that's how much they mix the races in Brazil. So, if the south of Brazil is more predominantly white, you know, like blonde and blue eyes, the north of the country of Brazil is more like, you know, the brown. It's a lot mixes. So, I'm Brazilian. And we have different faces. And the true Brazilian is the Indians, just like the true American is the Indians. We have our Indians over there too. It's only few. It's not too many around no more. But it's a lot. It's the second country population of Japanese besides Tokyo, besides Japan, is more Japanese in Brazil than anywhere in the world. After the Second War, a lot of the Europeans of the countries of Italy, Germany, they went to South America. A lot of them ended up in Brazil. Beautiful people, wonderful people, marvelous people. No, it's not perfect, just like, Brazilians are very friendly, very, it's easy to get along, usually. That's not the rule, but we have, it's not everybody's perfect, of course. We are too nosy sometimes, too, so. Okay, what comes to mind when you say about Brazil? Of course, soccer. I put a Pelé. This is Pelé, our best player ever. The barbecue, the churrasco, and of course, coffee. It is one more thing, carnival. I don't want to put a picture of it there. If you think Mardi Gras is bad, think of Mardi Gras 100 times worse. That's what is carnival. So it's just very unfortunate. Everybody, you know, Brazil promote that. It's very... sometimes very sad to see how much the people are involved. It is 4 days of the year just dedicated to that. Okay, now talking about the gospel. What is the challenges in Brazil? Not only for the missionaries, of course, but for the Christians in general. Extremely religious tradition. Brazil is considered a Catholic country. But actually, we have more spiritism than anywhere in the world, too. So they mix the Afro religions with Catholicism. And it is a mess, brothers. It is a mess. What the devil can do with that. You know, it is they got the scents from Africa, you know, the images from Africa, mix it up with the Catholicism. They've been doing this from the slaves' time. So it's very sad to see. There's a lot of place where they invoke the deaths and the, you know, very, very what they call white magic, but actually it's not invoked. So it's, the devil have really put a hand in a lot of people because of that too. And unfortunately, we've been have a lot of lately, for the last maybe the last 10, 12 years, more governmental regulations of the free religion, you know, so more attack not only the Christians but any kind of type of religion. And of course, just like anywhere in the world, we have increase of people don't believe anything. Okay, now we're gonna go. If you follow the CMML book, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 missionaries mentioned there, and they still work in Brazil. The first one is this brother and the Warren and Linda Brown, the Browns. Philip is going to bring he sent us an email just a couple of days ago, and Philip is going to read the email. He's on before you. He was in a small city called Franca. They laugh at me because in Portuguese they say Franca, but I'm going to try to Franca. So it is in the state of São Paulo. São Paulo is the biggest state, the richest state, more in the central south of Brazil. The richest state, the rich part of the country is more in the south, in the central south of Brazil. I forgot to mention Amazon too. You know, we cannot talk about Brazil without talking about Amazon. The Amazon is just like a little, not a little part, a big part on the north of Brazil. But like, I never went to the Amazon. It's just like some Florida never went to the Niagara Falls. It's the same thing, you know. It's just way up there, but it is a big part. But it's not only, we don't have anacondas everywhere in Brazil. It's just somewhere over there on the jungle. So he's in Franca. It's about 4-5 hours from São Paulo, from the big city.
This is from Warren and Linda Brown. Dear Saints at Land O'Lakes Bible Chapel, first of all, thank you for your prayerful interest in the work of the Lord in Brazil and our part in it. We have been in Brazil since 1990, living first in Brasilia for 4 years and now 4 hours north of São Paulo, city of Franca, city of São Paulo, for over 20 years. We are officially the Emmaus National Directors for the Emmaus Bible Correspondence School, but share the responsibilities with a couple in São Paulo and a brother in Cuiabá, Mato Grosso. Please pray for this young couple, especially as they are full of energy, vision, and capability, getting several new courses translated, others revised, doing all of the technology needed for this. How we thank the Lord for them. My ministry is varied with evangelism training, 6 months sequential in home studies, discipleship of new converts, homiletic training in 3 local assemblies, as well as Bible teaching in local and regional assemblies in the form of conferences, camps, meetings in series, Sunday morning invitations, intense monthly Bible schools, studies, visiting, counseling, and hospitality. I also care for my very invalid wife in all respects, physically, emotionally, intellectually, who was severely damaged by fungal meningitis in 2008. I have helped her with her care during the day on MWF. You can imagine what a training ground this has been in every area of life. The Lord gives grace to help in this need of time. Again, we thank you for all you are doing for us and many others here in Brazil as you meet to pray. May the Lord bless and keep you there on your mission field. Yours in Christ, Warren and Linda Brown, Franca, São Paulo, Brazil.
Thank you, Warren.
going to ask our brother Paul if he can pray for this, specifically for this couple.
Father, how we thank you for this, your brother and sister. Father, we thank thee for their dedication, and even in very dire circumstances, as Brother Warren has seen his wife deteriorate over years due to the meningitis. Father, how we thank thee for his love and his care for her, and also being able to carry on the work there in Brazil. Father, we just pray that you would strengthen each one of them. We know it's a great burden on both of them, but Father, how we thank you for the results that we've seen in their hearts and their lives, and Father, even of their own sons and daughters that have come as well, and Father, how we thank you for that. Father, we just pray that you would continue to watch over them and bless them and care for them while they're there, and just give them a good harvest of souls, and that the word would go out and many would be able to be encouraged and grow in your grace and knowledge each and every day. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be reminded again of the work that's going on in this great country. Father, we pray that hearts would be softened and that the enemy's efforts would be thwarted on every side, and that as we see the time growing shorter and shorter, we just pray that you would really give them help in many, many ways. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful couple and pray you be with them in Christ's name.
Thank you. The next sister is the Jean Lipsy. Actually, Jean is she's a daughter of one couple, the Lipsys. Dominique Lipsy and Marjorie Lipsy. They are in Brazil since the early 40s, I assume, because you're going to know a little bit more because his wife is still alive. Miss Marjorie is still alive, and she's still going. Actually, unfortunately, for the last, we just have a news, she's in the hospital now. She's not doing too well physically, but so she's the daughter of this couple. They went to Brazil. And we do have an email from her too. I'm going to read the email. She's in another city called Souza. Souza is just a small city close to Campinas. Campinas is about an hour from São Paulo. I would say the big São Paulo. It's more like a country part of São Paulo. And she sent a... What I'm going to read is a letter. She put this letter from for prayer in the beginning of February. She writes, "Thank you for your cherished prayers. The summer camp went well. It is encouraging to see faithful kids coming back to the camp. It's a blessing to see others from last July coming back." And then she talked about a little boy. One little boy, Marco, who wanted very much to meet his biological father, met him and told me that he had forgiven him when he had testimony time on the Friday evening. He shared with tears that he's very concerned for his mother, who once said she was a believer, but no longer has any interest in spiritual things. And then she talked about the what she intend to do this year. She works in schools, and that's what she said. "Lord willing, this month, after the carnival holiday and after the teachers finalize planning for the school year, I will start teaching Bible again in the public schools. Five schools have already confirmed. Only one is waiting for the parents and teacher meeting to give an answer. And it's another school where her sister works there too. This last one is the..." She tells the name of the school. "Then this last one is the new school I made contact with last semester. I'm so thankful to the Lord that she will, she's talking about her sister, be enjoying this ministry. Thank you for remembering these schools and your prayer. And she mentioned the name of one principal of the school. Her name is Marioness. The director of one of the schools mentioned above started coming to the Souls Assembly after they began work last year at the school. She told me she knew the Lord but wasn't attending any church and would like to meet at the Souls Chapel. Now she's a regular member and asking for prayer for her husband, who is not a believer, and her twin daughter that sometimes come with her to the meetings. She mentioned a couple, an Indian couple, they came and they preached for them, for the family there. She asked for prayer for the camp on the carnival time, but it already happened. So, and I'm sure they have a good time and a good coming for that carnival camp. Now she finalized the email saying, Jesse and Heather, that's her kids, they live here in USA. They just had a boy. No, sorry. Jesse and Heather's baby boy will be born in the middle of June. I was thinking to travel next to the U.S. at the end of the year, school year. But now I'm considering maybe going in the middle of the school year when they have the winter holidays in July. Please pray with me that the Lord will guide and bless these plans if it is His will. And for the details like where, when, how long. Oh, and also she mentioned she had a surgery. About my nose, the doctor did a great job with the small surgery. The results that came back was carcinoma basecular. Next time I see Dr. Geraldo, he will tell me if he thinks I should have another surgery done to go a little deeper. I'm resting in the Lord. In His wonderful grace, Jean Lipsy. This sister, her work is basically on schools. She's teaching Bible in schools, and also she mentioned over here on the prayer book, woman's ministry in the local assembly. They have a small assembly in the city, and that she's been working there for faithful for too many years. I'm going to ask our brother, Brother Mark, if you can pray for this dear sister, please. The next one is Sister Marjorie Lipsy. That's the mother of the Jean we just mentioned. They have a camp, and this camp is very dear to me because I like to play soccer, so it's a nice field over there. Now, that's after having seen Amy for a couple of years, where we met in that camp. And everything else is history. So that's a very nice camp. They opened the camp in 1948. And this camp is be used for the assembly the assembly work. They have camps, and summertime it will be December, January, February, March. So that's the have time for camp. But they do have over the year a very nice facility, and they've been using this for the work of the Lord. And I would say hundreds of kids have come to become a believer and also strengthen their spiritual life on that camp. So God have used that camp very great for His work. Unfortunately, like I said, our sister is right now in the hospital. The last news we had, she was at the hospital. She must be in her late 90s. Yeah. But she don't believe in retirement. So that's one of the things really impressed me in this experience I have at missionaries in Brazil. They don't believe in retirement. They just stay there. And the way they embrace the people, the way they embrace that, something I really admire, that's became their people. And they just stay there. Their kids married, and they stay there. I wonder if we can bow our heads. I'm going to just pray for our sister, for God to give her peace on this time now, and if that's His will, for to take her home. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the opportunity we have to specifically pray for those missionaries in Brazil. You have blessed their lives, and I know, and we know, and You know, it was not always victors. They have they wonder what you had sent them over there. But we thank You for the fruits of this ministry in Brazil, and how much you have blessed them and helped them with results and with souls and saved for Your name. We want to now think about our sister Marjorie and ask You to give her peace, give her comfort, and give her if that's Your will, to give her the cure or couple more years, if that's your will. If you're not, help her to go in peace and knowing that the work is done. And we thank You for her life, and thank You for, we ask You also for her family and for the ones around her. Give them to the peace and the comfort only You can give. In Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Are you guys still with me, or are we sleeping? No? We good? We good? Okay. All right. Okay, we have this dear family over here. McClellan. I tried to... McClellan. There we go. Say it right. McClellan. Our brother David... David Satula knows their... Father, brother.
Joe's brother goes to the Cheshire Assembly.
On
Jim McClellan is Joe's brother.
Oh, in Connecticut. Okay. He's very busy. I mean, he's involved a lot of things. He's in another state. It is the state of São Paulo. And then above São Paulo, it is Minas Gerais. It's a big state. Most of the state is agropecuary. A lot of plantations and ghetto, bulls and cows, and so that's pretty much the state. It's a big state, and he's in a small city, about 10 hours drive from São Paulo. So that's, when you say the distance in Brazil, sometimes 10 hours, because there's a lot of curves and up and down, so it's not everything flat to go Florida. So like Florida, so it takes a little longer. So, and he have two kids and our sister Yusa. Yusa is no commitment work, only him, but he married in Brazil. Unfortunately, I tried to get in contact with him, but I have no emails from him. He's a dear. We know him for a long time. Gavin worked with him on that city. Well, Gavin's going to say later, but he was in that city for a couple of years too. And this brother, in, he's an elder of one big assembly in the area. They might have, Gavin said, about 8 or 10 assemblies on the area. And he's the elder of the biggest one. And they've been doing a lot good work over there for the word of. They have some commitment workers from the assembly working in the area too. It's very interesting to see it. I wonder if our brother Dave Satola can pray for. He's been, like I said, he's involved on leadership on that assembly, also teaching and his commitment for the Canadian MSC. That's kind of what the FMML is, but the Canadian. And his father went to Brazil, I would say, in the 1930s, even before the Lipsis. So I wonder if our brother can pray for him and for protection.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many that are doing your work in the country of Brazil. We thank you for Joe and Elsa, for the work that they have done and continue to do faithfully, for his work amongst the assemblies there, in the gospel and also in the ministry of your word. Thank you for his son and his daughter, and for we pray for their protection. We pray, Father, for the furtherance of your word there, and we look to you, Father, that you would provide their needs too financially as they serve you in that great country, in that great area. So we commend them to you tonight and pray for them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. The last one, and I have a picture of them. Brother Gavin and Eleni, I'm not going to say too much. So he's going to have a time. We're going to give him some time to tell. He's going to come and he's going to share with us what he's been doing all those 50 years in Brazil. So, São Paulo, as you can see, that's what it is. It's a big city. They call it the jungle of concrete. That's what it is. That's what it looks like. It's about the city itself, because it is the state of São Paulo and the city of São Paulo. The state of São Paulo is the richest state, like I said, and the city of São Paulo is the richest city in South America. And that city alone have about 15, the right number is about 16 million people living. If you take consideration the whole great São Paulo, I will talk about 22 million people. That's a really big. But unfortunately, it's a city of contrasts. Over there is the same city. You see the back of the buildings, you see the ghettos. So that's something you see very dramatic on those cities. A lot of violence, a lot of crime, a lot of corruption, everything you can think about it. But the word of God have spread in the country. Brazil is considered today, I don't know until what's the number, but the most proper, proper country of the gospel, because it is a lot of evangelicals. But when they say evangelicals, you don't really know if they mean true evangelical or just everybody together. But I know this, the word of God has spread in the country tremendously the last 40 to 50 years. And we're going to finalize with Gavin part of the night. Okay? Thank you, Gavin.
Edgar asked if tonight, in sharing with you, it would be more along the line of a personal testimony, so you can get to know us as individuals, know something about our lives and something about our ministry, and then on the Sunday morning in the Sunday school, we would say a little bit more about the work that is being done in that country. I just want to take you to a passage of scripture in Colossians chapter 1, which is really, I have chosen this as a text for my life and ministry. Colossians chapter 1, and verse 28, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ, or mature in Christ. And to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And that has become a life text. I was born in the city of Niagara Falls, New York, back in the early 40s. My father was originally from Scotland. My mother was a Canadian. Both of them were second and third generation believers, and even second and third generation from the assemblies. So that, of course, had a profound influence on my life right from the very outset. 5 years later, when World War II was over, this event brought a new surge of missionaries to various parts of the world. Some were returning to their fields after the disruption caused by the war, but many were going out to the field for the first time. And you probably will remember these names as well as I, but names such as the Dibbles and Hortons, Caldwells, Chopards, Logans, Wilsons, Beggs, Sowers, Deans were all like household terms to us. And it was a privilege to know these people over the years. The Niagara Frontier area of Western New York, of which Niagara Falls was part, was a very missionary-minded area of the country. And although there were very few assemblies, there were only about five or six assemblies in that area, but it became one of the chief centers of missionary activities. And I can recall my childhood days where we spent the majority of our time either welcoming missionaries home or seeing them off to the field, or listening to the reports, going to missionary conferences. We had prayer meetings. If you wanted to get a seat at the prayer meeting, you had to go early. That just goes to show the type of emphasis that was given to missions at that time. And of course, I felt that I had slept, breathed, eight missions ever since my childhood. And this had a tremendous influence upon me. Because Niagara Falls was a tourist center, of course, many of the missionaries home on furlough wanted to kill two birds with one stone and not only give the reports in the assembly, but also see the sights of the falls for the first time. And of course, this brought a lot of missionaries to our place, and our home was very hospitable, and we had missionaries from all over the world coming through our home. I felt like we had our own personal history channel, maybe Animal Kingdom as well, because of the stories that they would bring to us. And we just sat there on the floor at their feet and just drank in all of these all of this information that was being handed down to us. So right from the very beginning, there was this emphasis on missions. My parents were not wealthy at all. We never had a home of our own. We never had a car. And the only thing that my parents could give us when it came birthdays or Christmas time were missionary biographies. And we read these books and reread these books. And once again, our life was being channeled towards missions the entire time. No wonder that I ended up on the mission field. Except for one thing. In the seventh year of school, I don't know how it was in your state, but in New York State, you went through several weeks of learning Latin and then German and then Spanish and French. And I had, unfortunately, the same teacher for all four languages. And, of course, this was to give you an idea what language you should continue on in your studies in the school. And I asked my teacher what language I should take up. She says, English. She says, you have no capability whatsoever of learning a foreign language. And, of course, when I heard that, my whole dream of going to the mission field just went up in smoke. I did become interested when I got into junior high in the area of graphic arts, and I took up everything that I could find along those lines. And I thought to myself, you know, I still believe God wants me on the mission field, but what can I do if I can't speak the language? And I thought, well, I'll print literature so that those who could speak the language would be able to spread the word even a little better. Well, when it came to graduating from high school, I wrote immediately off to a graphic arts school in New York and was accepted. But on the verge of my leaving home for my studies, I got a telegram saying, unfortunately, the school had to be canceled. Once again, I wondered what God had in store for all of this. I wrote immediately off to Emmaus and asked if there was any possibility of getting in at the last minute to the school. And that proved to be a very important step in my life. This all took place at the time when the five missionaries who were reaching out to the Aka Indians lost their lives. And because of that incident, for the first time, my interest had been turned toward Latin America. It seemed that at that time, with CMML, most of the emphasis was being placed on Africa. And I had an interest in going to Angola because of that. But the Lord knew better where he wanted to send me. So, it was very interesting what took place during that time, because when I did get to Emmaus, each of the students received somebody from the Chicago area who would be considered your spiritual father. And my spiritual father turned out to be Theo McCulley. No coincidence. Let me just tell you a little story about Theo, because I had never heard the name before apart from the scriptures. And he says, well, let me tell you what it means. He says, when my father came to see me in the hospital, He said, "That is the awfulest baby I have ever seen." So his name became Theophilus. There was a book written, you will remember, The Shadow of the Almighty, about Jim Elliot's life. And I suppose I read that book about five times during my time at Emmaus. And interestingly enough, there was a worker in the Chicago area by Charles. No, I can't remember his last name. I was going to say Colson, but it's not Colson. No. But he wanted me to go down to southern Illinois to a small assembly in the city of Sparta. And I thought, well, it would be interesting to get some first-hand experience in working in an assembly before I leave for the mission field. And I took up his challenge and went down to the city. They couldn't afford to help me out financially. It was a very poor area. The only thing they could give me were eggs. And I had fried eggs and scrambled eggs and poached eggs, everything you can imagine. But you know, that was a tremendous experience. Tremendous experience. And a time when God used this in a very special way. There was something else that took place when we got to Sparta, or when I got to Sparta, and that was that I decided to stay in the home of a Christian couple from the assembly. They kindly gave me a room in their big house, and in my bedroom one day I decided to pick up the book Shadow of the Almighty once again. And as I was making my way through this book, I will never forget that one of the chapters of that book that I had never, ever noticed before was about Sparta. And I learned that Jim Elliot and Ed McCulley had worked in the city of Sparta before they went to the mission field. Once again, I say that there are no coincidences. And I ran downstairs and I said, "Aunt Marjorie, did you know Jim Elliot?" And she says, "Whose bed do you think you've been sleeping in?" Of course, that sent shivers down my spine to think that God was working in that way. I would say about halfway through my time in Sparta, I got a call from Kevin Dyer, who had been a very close friend of mine, and he had just finished his tour in their team in Asia, and he was wanting to set up another team for Latin America. And without realizing my interest in Latin America at that time, he got in touch with me, and he says, "Gavin," he says, "would you be willing to give me 2 weeks of your time? I have so much work to do that I need somebody to drive the car. And we're going to visit the southern states and be in an assembly each night, talking about this team that we are forming for Latin America." And he says, I just wondered if you would be willing to drive the car for me and I'll keep working in the car itself. Well, I thought that was an interesting opportunity. And I ended up not only driving the car, but I was setting up the program every single night and listening to this challenge that they were needing five couples for Latin America. Well, I wasn't a couple yet, I was well on the way, but I wasn't a couple yet. But after I got home from that trip, I did call my fiancé in Chicago and discovered that she was interested in the very same thing. And yet we had never talked about this. And so that was the beginning of our interest in the Latin American team. And one of the reasons why I also wanted to get involved in this teamwork is that it would be only for a period of 2 years, and then we would come home again. Well, I thought to myself, you know, in a 2 year period, I will be able to discover if I can learn a foreign language or not. And if I can't, I won't be embarrassed about coming home. But fortunately, God used that time. I remember I was in the home of one Scottish missionary, and they had a small room out in the back where they put me while I was there. And the roof came down like this from their house, and I didn't see it and hit my head on the roof as I was leaving my room. And out of my mouth, just like out of the mule, came a Portuguese expression. And he turned to me and he says, "You're coming back to Brazil." And it was very, very interesting. But God did use that event to encourage me in those lines. So got back to Sparta, Illinois once again. And near the end of that year, I got a call from Kevin once again. He says, "I just acquired a old farmhouse. And I know you're going to be getting married soon. So I thought, if you would help me remodel this old farmhouse, I'll give you a place to live." And this farmhouse turned out to be the training center for the Latin American team. So we were already there when the initiation program started. And it was just so exciting to see how God leads in all the little details of your life. And it was because of that that we ended up in Brazil. And we spent 9 months in Brazil at that time, and then we went on to Paraguay and Uruguay, and then we went on to Chile, and we spent 9 months in Chile, and then we went on to Peru and Ecuador, and even touched in Venezuela on our way home. But it was a tremendous exposure to missionary work. My biggest concern was this. When I was in Brazil, I fell in love with the country. And I thought to myself, I'm coming back here. But then I thought to myself, you know, what happens if the same thing takes place in Paraguay and Uruguay and Chile and Peru? But it didn't. God kept our interest in Brazil. And he brought us back to that country. And by the grace of God, we've been there for over 50 years. I lost my first wife in 1963 through a heart attack. 1983, I'm sorry. 93? Okay. I can only remember, well, and you can only remember the distant past, right? But that was most unexpected. Sort of took the ground under my feet and left me wondering what God had in store for me from then on. When God brought Ellen E. back into my life again, we had known each other because of my speaking engagements at the Word of Life Ranch in in Brazil, where I'd spoken on various occasions. And she was there one time with her entire family, and our families got to know each other, and we spent time with each other on birthdays and things like that. But then she became a widow, and she remained a widow for 3 years. Then I became a widower, and shall I tell the story? Huh?
Please, by all means.
I had written a booklet on 10 lessons for new believers in Christ. And she knew about this, and she had used it in her ministry in the hospitals. She called me one day, and she said, "Where could I get a copy of your booklet?" Well, she knew right well that it wasn't sold in bookstores. I had to deliver it personally. There was a method in her madness.
Oh. This story's getting better and better.
Yeah. So I went there one day, just planned to hand in the book and be on my way again. And she had a tough counseling session that morning, and she asked me if I would be willing to stay on and help her in the counseling. Well, I did, and that ended up at lunchtime. And she says, "Would you like to have lunch with us in the hospital?" I says, "Hospital food? No way." I took her out to a restaurant, and we spent, I would say, 3 hours at least, bringing our lives up to date with one another. And, of course, Amy knew what was going on. And when I got home, she said, "How did things go, Dad?" And I thought to myself, why? What is she after? And I said, "Well, I think she might be interested." "You better remove that doubt from your mind, Dad." And I had to go out with her the next day. But I told her, I says, "You know, I can't take you to an Italian restaurant again because that costs too much money." I says, "Maybe some Arab food would be okay." And she settled for that. But that's when we began our relationship with one another. I knew the Lord wouldn't allow me to just marry anyone because of the type of ministry that we were involved in. And she had been serving the Lord as a hospital chaplain for 10 years before that. And she, of course, knew that she couldn't marry just anyone and be able to keep up her hospital chaplaincy ministry. But the Lord was very gracious. And now for the last 20 years, we've shared our ministries with one another. We've shared our families with one another. I brought 2 kids to the marriage, and she brought 4 boys. My friends told me, "Gavin, forget it. You're heading in the wrong direction. What will you do with 4 teenage boys? But the Lord was very gracious in something like that. And if you were to look at these kids today, you would have thought that they were brought up all together. And God has been good. God has been good. Many of you know that I am the father of Amy. And also Todd. I don't know how many of you knew Todd that went home to be with the Lord around 4 years ago, who was from the Carrollwood Assembly. And of course, that was tough for me to lose my boy. It's one thing to bury your parents; it's another thing to bury your son. And that was very, very difficult for me. Sunday, I spoke at Carrollwood, and as I entered the parking lot, I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to be reminded once again. And my wife turned to me. She says, just think about it as Todd's assembly. And of course, that gave me more courage to go ahead with it. And had a nice time with the believers there. I just want you to pray for us as a family, that the Lord would continue to use us in His ministry. We're getting up in years. We're feeling it. We're having to slow down. And yet, we constantly receive invitations. And we're going to have to pick and choose as to what we do from now on. And we would ask that you would give us wisdom, God would give us wisdom along these lines. Now, on Sunday morning in the Sunday school, I would like to share something about the work and what God has been doing in that country through this ministry, and trust that the information that you'll receive will be encouraging to you as well. So the Lord bless you.